Oh, yeah. It's going to be another awesome one. We are blessed to live here in North Central Florida, indeed. It is 8:08. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. One of the top stories, President Trump signing into law, if it stands, the pharmaceutical companies will be forced to lower prices to Americans to the level that they charge countries that they give even the best deals to. If this thing holds up, this will be huge, big savings, more money in the pockets of Americans. And yes, that is a win for all of America. So Trump winning, you bet. It's in Saudi Arabia right now. Apparently this trip to the Middle East was going to have a lot to do with investment. And, oh yeah, the investments are definitely coming. Axios, citing current and former U.S. officials, two Arab officials reported the administration hopes to secure about $1 trillion in investment commitments. I know that they've put up $450 billion. They upped it to $600 billion. And I think the president and Saudi Arabia enjoy a very good and strong relationship, and that's important moving forward. Now, ahead of the trip, the royal family of Qatar offered the U.S. a $400 million Boeing 747-8 jumbo jet to serve as a temporary Air Force One amid delays with Boeing's next-generation presidential aircraft. Now, the move's drawn criticism. What's the potential? What's the quid pro quo? What's the strings? What do they want in return? Well, the president did say a legal review is underway to ensure the pending deal is compliant with the law. But, you know, when somebody offers you a gift like that, depending on the culture, mm-hmm. you don't want to snub them. That's right. Obviously a very generous gift. But if legally it's going to put you, in hot water, you probably want to avoid that. I know Rand Paul's against it. He doesn't think it's, constitutional. Democrats have used harsher wording. It's a grift. It's this. It's that.
Well, they're not going to like anything that could look good for Donald Trump.
Right.
Or benefit Donald Trump.
But you can't argue with the amount of investments that he has been really kind of pulling in mm-hmm. around the world. And you got to think to yourself, if Donald Trump is what the mainstream media has told us.
Yeah.
Especially in terms of his relationship with foreign countries. They'd love to push it. Oh, they hate Trump. They hate Trump. I was in Europe twice, and I can tell you they don't hate Trump. Although in Ireland, they tend to lean a little socialistic. But they don't hate him, as far as the folks that I spoke with.
Sure.
But here's where the proof is in the pudding. Governments and business leaders in various countries would not be spending billions and in some cases trillions of dollars in the U.S. if they didn't have some level of belief and faith in this president. Uh-huh. They do. And that's what, the old thing, money talks, BS walks. There you go. Once again, the mainstream media is proved completely wrong. Now, they've got work to do there in the Middle East. And the thing with Qatar, it's kind of complicated because they're not our enemy, but they are friends with, China. So we have to be careful there. Also, they've been involved with, giving cover to or hiding some terrorist groups. So, again, we have to use a level of caution. But this may be all part of the deal. It could be part of the president saying, hey, when push comes to shove, you want to be on our side of the equation. When things happen, you want to be with us. Nobody's going to protect you or help you like we will. You've got to know that. And hopefully this president, who knows a little bit about the art of the deal, is going to be successful. I think he wants to get them off the playing both sides thing and, you know, quit the terrorism business. You know? That would be huge. That in itself would be huge. Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. Let's go to Tom. Good morning.
You know, when I was little, I read Orwell's 1984, along with Animal Farm and all the rest of it. And my kids don't read that in school because I guess it's a little bit too close to the mark. And all this garbage with Trump, it's like the handicapper general. It's like you have Tom Brady there, and the guy does nothing but throw touchdowns and get your team to win. And these pathetic people cannot compete with him. So the only way they can prevent losing over and over again to Trump is to try to destroy him. And that's what they're doing. Oh, it's a grift for this plane. The guy's so successful, they're giving him this phenomenal plane. But what do they come up with? Oh, well, they can't do that because it makes him look even better. This country is really, it's over the top with the nonsense they get. You've got this absolute winner directing us to success, and they're doing everything they can to stop him because it makes them look so inept, and they're so afraid they'll never, ever be able to claw their way into power again because of his success. It's really disheartening sometimes. Thank you, guys.
No, bye-bye. Thank you. To put another way, nobody wants to be told their dogma is ugly. Nobody wants to be told their dog is ugly, dogma takes
both,
it a step further.
Yep.
And, you know, nobody wants to say, man, I was all in against Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I just...
He's doing all these great things.
Yeah.
What can I do? That's awkward.
I hate myself for loving you. That could be a song.
It'd never catch on.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. It was a thought.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Pope Leo, how about this guy, huh? Chicago, went to Villanova. He was there the same time one of my cousins was there. He's not claiming that he really knew him. He knew he was like in the same dorm thing, like a floor apart, but he's got some mutual friends that some of them were somewhat close to him at least. But what a cool story. And he is urging reporters to do their part in protecting, ready for this? The precious gift of free speech.
There you go.
That is a big deal. Well, yes, especially considering, you know, what seems to be unfolding in Europe, where they are
so bad,
not allowing all that much free speech. It's not all that free.
Well, they even call it hate thought if they don't like what you're doing. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did they see the Tom Cruise movie from back in the day where they could predict future crimes and stuff? Is that where they're getting that from?
Don't give any ideas.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
All right, we're approaching, what do we got here? 8:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is a Trash Talking Tuesday. Thanks to Florence Recycling. And don't forget, you can get the Bob Rose Show podcast wherever you normally download your podcast. Click on subscribe. You'll never miss a minute of the show. Like an upcoming interview at 8:35 with State Senator Jay Collins, right here on 97.3 The Sky. Yeah. Another great one. Awesome day ahead of us. Let's make the best of it, right? It's 8:21. You're listening to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. This weekend is going to be great as well. I invite you to join me at the 24th annual Gainesville Harley-Davidson Hog Roast. That's going on this Saturday from 11 to 4. Mouth-watering barbecue from the pros, the absolute best. Sweet Meats Butcher Shop. They are barbecue competition champions. So you'll have whole hog. And when I say whole hog, you'll get to see it.
Oh, yeah.
It's whole hog.
It's all there.
And it is awesome. It's going to be so good. And then live music from Branford Highway. And they'll have games and prizes and fun for the whole family. And the proceeds benefit the Rotary Club of Gainesville. So I'll see you at Gainesville Harley-Davidson this Saturday between 11 and 4. Oh, while you're there, check out the all-new 2025 lineup, including the 2025 Nightster. Starting at only $99.99, the folks there will help you out and will guide you. And if you are offered a test ride, and I think Saturday might be the last day, you want to take them up on it. I think you're going to be really impressed of the last 2 years' models of the technological advances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And plenty of oomph.
Oomph.
Know what I mean?
Oomph is good.
Know what I mean?
Well, you got to have some oomph with your potato.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a great combo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Tasty. No,
they got it down. So, anyway, we're going to have some fun, and we're going to eat a lot.
Imagine that.
And we're going to raise money for the Rotary. So it's all good.
Yeah, sounds good.
A guy that just...
Uh-oh.
You know...
Here we go.
Well, maybe the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I'm talking about Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
Okay. So... Most of us remember Deion Sanders. Look, he was a Florida State great, you know, as a Gator fan. You know, we hated to see him. But as far as talent, no, the guy was awesome. And he's proven himself to be, you know, a pretty wise and savvy coach. I mean, really. Now, look, his shtick, man, that's his whole shtick is bigger than life. Neon Deion. I mean, and he was smart and savvy enough to know that, you know, I'm going to make some money off of this image. And this is before they had name, you know, image and likeness stuff, right? He knew it. My image is going to have some value. And he cleaned up in endorsements and stuff. That's smart because an athlete's career could really end literally at any time. So he has this gifted son who, you know, I saw, I think, at least two games where he was the quarterback for Colorado, and he's impressive. He looks good. Now, was he the best quarterback in the draft? Honestly, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you that. But he looked pretty darn good. Well, he was probably going to be a solid second rounder, certainly considered for the first round as well. But he went in the fifth round. And a lot of people that were fans of his were very, very upset. And I believe I said it pretty quickly after the draft. I said, yeah, it's all about the attitude he came with. And, you know, what worked for his dad now is looked at a lot differently. You got to remember back in the day when, you know, Neon Deion's running around. That's also when the Miami Hurricanes, you know, they're all strutting around. You know, it was a different era. People grew a little tired of that.
Yeah.
And the owners don't want to deal with anything like controversial.
Drama.
You know, you have that whole, you know, Kaepernick thing. Oh. The owners don't want that. Mm-mm. They don't want to. Look at Tim Tebow. Are you telling me that he wasn't good enough to play anywhere in the league for anybody?
Uh-huh.
When you saw he turned around the Broncos, like 4-7, he got him in the playoffs. Playoffs? But when Tebow came to town, the circus came to town. Now, certainly a different circus that might run around and chase Shedeur Sanders around, but still circus nonetheless. You know, the owners want the focus to be on football, specifically the football team.
Right.
You know, the execution day in and day out. So, at least President Donald Trump, now he tried. He supported Shedeur Sanders. He put it out on social media. And he said, what's wrong with the NFL owners? This was in, I believe, the second. Yeah, this was deep into the second round. Are they stupid? Deion Sanders was a great college football player and even greater in the NFL. He's also a very good coach, streetwise and smart. Therefore, Shedeur, his quarterback's son, has phenomenal genes and is all set for greatness. He should be picked up immediately, in all caps, by a team that wants to win, in all caps. Good luck, Shedeur, and say hello to your wonderful father. One Saturday, Sanders was asked about it. He said, you know, he was truly thankful that the president supported him. And he said, yeah, there's a lot of fans, a lot of people in barbershops and hairstylists, a lot of fans of me, my craft, my family. I was just thankful to have that foundation overall. As people, we can all come together as one.
Nice.
But a different, you know, really kind of a different attitude than he had showed right before the NFL Combine. And according to, you know, Boomer Esiason, he took himself off the board of a lot of NFL owners. You know, they took him right off the board. So there's that. I'm sure things will work out anyway. State Senator Jay Collins is going to be joining us in just a few minutes right here on the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy, live and local, 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It is 8:33. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is definitely another day in paradise. President Trump in Saudi Arabia getting literally the royal treatment. Details on that coming up. But right now, joining us, State Senator Jay Collins. Good morning, Senator. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. I was wondering what's going on with the budget. I mean, budgets are always going to be a little bit of a struggle, but generally, I don't know, in Florida, it seems like we've kind of cruised through the process. What's the holdup now?
Yeah, well, you know, this is a little unprecedented for us. Not what any of us expected, but in the end, there's a divide right now, just a little bit of a separation in terms of the House and the Senate and what we want to do on the budget. You know, the House had proposed some sales tax rollbacks, which, frankly, I'm not for. And the Senate is with the governor on this, talking about property tax and maintaining a strong budget approach that we've been using for the last several years in terms of paying down debt and everything else. So that's where the biggest divide is.
Yeah, especially, you know, as homeowners begin to age, I mean, the property tax becomes, you know, one of their main expenditures, even if they were fortunate enough to pay their house off, you know, that never goes away. So any help in that area, you know, I think is a good idea. You know, the sales tax thing, when they say, oh, here's a sales tax holiday and all that, I mean, it's what 7%? I mean, to me, you know, I'll go to a sale when it's, you know, 30, 50% off or whatever. 7% to me, it doesn't seem like, you know, that's a whole lot to brag about personally.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah. So, but what's going on, like, behind the scenes? Like, the real deal, when it comes to Governor DeSantis, look, he's very Trumpian in the way he wants to do things. But Ben Albritton and Perez in the House, they don't seem to be, like, making life easier for the governor. In fact, sometimes the opposite.
So what I'll tell you, and let's go back to the sales tax thing. Look, the reality is most people, if we did the sales tax stuff, the rollback, would see about $40 on average per year. That's really a minimal amount. Governor DeSantis was talking about up to $1,000 rollback in terms of property tax. That's substantive. In a time when everyone's fighting because inflation's up, you know, because of the Biden team, Trump's doing all he can to bring this down, but he's only been in office a short while. It's starting to drop. And ultimately, you know, it's a way to get money back in the pockets of people, right? So let's talk about what's been going on in the House, the Senate, with the governor. Right now, the Senate and the governor are pretty well aligned. We're actually working very well. We're agreeing on the budget. A lot of this goes back to early on with immigration and kind of that divide and that conversation that we had back then. You know, I was in a small group of people. There was three of us who stood with the governor and said, hey, look, this language doesn't do what we needed to do. There's a problem. And that was really the genesis of this. Since that time, the Senate has moved towards the governor's position on really pretty much everything. And at this point, we're just trying to land a plane on the budget. The sales tax divide is part of the problem. I think that there's some questions about how much we fund body armor, how much we fund retirement for people, how much we fund pay raises for our state troopers. You know, those are other parts that we're talking about, but it really comes down to sales tax versus property tax, and there's a large divide. It's about $2.5 billion. That being said, we have to have the budget done by July 1st. That's it. That's the line in the sand. I cannot imagine a way that with all of the talent we have in the House, all of the talent we have in the Senate, we can't find a way to land this plane. So while it's been a little rocky, I do believe we'll get this together and we'll get this thing landed in time.
Yeah, I don't even know where the idea of a rollback on a sales tax even took hold, because back when Marco Rubio was the Speaker of the Florida House, he had the idea to actually add to the sales tax, but greatly reduce, if not eliminate, property taxes completely for homeowners in the state of Florida. And this seems to be completely counterintuitive on every level. And yeah, like you said, $40 savings versus $1,000. I mean, that to me, that's a no-brainer. Let me ask
100%.
Let me ask you one more thing. Is there anything in the legislation that is going to help drive down the cost of insurance to homeowners and to automobile owners?
Yeah, so in terms of insurance, you know, was it 2 years ago we did that substantive tort reform, right? That actually is taking effect in a strong way now. We have dozens of insurance companies now showing interest. We've had multiple, I think it's like 12 or 15 that have come back to the state. For the first time in almost a decade, we've actually rolled back rates. You've seen rate filings to not increase but to drop in many cases. That's a big deal. People talk like this insurance issue just goes back 3 or 4 years. It goes back before DeSantis. We've had problems for quite a while because of the propensity for hurricanes. So we are working more on that. You're seeing more work in terms of you know, just cleaning up a little bit of transparency, getting things done in the insurance company, in the insurance world, so people understand their rates, they understand what's at stake, they understand the true cost. But the last thing we want to do here is roll back that tort reform we did a couple years ago. If we do that and we get more litigious, it's going to add more and more and more cost on. In terms of automobile, we're doing multiple things to help reduce the risk. Some of these are educational. I ran a bill talking about driver's ed and adding distracted driving education to children. You know, what we're finding is there's a 6x increase in distractedness, and its effects are 6 times as strong as alcohol on children when they're driving, i.e. their phones, all the things like that. So that's going to have a big reduction. We're working with other insurance companies trying to bring more in, which will balance this out in terms of
competition.
In terms of competition and cost. So there's more of that, but it's going to be a slow process. I wish I had a magic wand, but we just don't on this one.
No, but you're absolutely right that this has been kind of ongoing for years. Other states have some of the same issues, Florida worse because of the hurricanes and all that. But we appreciate you at least attempting to address it. We know things don't get solved immediately. Hey, what about immigration? I know the governor put out, you know, some pretty strong statements. Is everything going to follow through?
Yeah, so I will tell you, I'm really proud of what we did. We just had Operation Tidal Wave, 1,100 illegal immigrants apprehended. Many of these people have criminal records. They have been caught before and rolled back into the network. Right now, Florida is incredible on this. We're leading the way across the country. We're working with the Trump team and their agenda, and much of what we have proved and built out will become the standard across the country. But that's what the expectation has been and should be in Florida. We are 100% at the tip of the spear when it comes to how we do things. This is an area I'm very grateful to have led on. And, you know, you see the direct effect of having a few people stand to make sure the policy got right, the Senate and the House adopting this language. And now we're rocking and rolling as a state, man. It's great to see this. We have our state troopers working with the feds. We have sheriffs from every county working together. It's what should happen, you know, to make sure we protect our citizenry. And, you know, the fact is, you want to bring down insurance rates? Let's get illegal people who cause a lot of the accidents off the roads. That helps, right? That's a large part of the issue right now. Same thing with distracted driving. If we can help curb those things, you know, we're going to bring down rates for everybody.
Yeah, true. 25%, I think, of the drivers are either underinsured or uninsured. And yes, a lot of it, illegals tend to not carry the insurance. So it sounds really, the big picture looks fairly good. Do you think the Senate and the governor are going to win on this property tax thing?
I do. You know, in the end, generally speaking, when you have a chamber working with the governor, that does give the upper hand. My expectation is this will get finished. And again, I just want to say, look, man, we have a ton of talent in the House, a ton of talent in the Senate. We know we have the best governor in all 50 states. It's incredible. The expectation is we got to get our stuff together and keep working this thing forward. In terms of what we were talking about just a moment ago with property tax versus sales tax, look, man, the reality is we absolutely should put more of the cost of our tax load on our people who are visiting. I don't want our citizens to bear that. We have a beautiful state. Let's lessen the burden for our people and pass that over to people who are visiting here a week, 10 days at a time, right? That's just how it works best. I agree with Rubio. I agree with DeSantis on that. That's just smart business. But I think one thing that we haven't addressed well in the property tax, and I think this is something, and it's a bill I ran this year, I'll run again next year, is the millage. You've got to curb the utilization of millage in some of these cities and counties. Right now, you'll see these large increases because they just want to spend. You got to stop the addiction to spending. You know, I had the opportunity to work with some of our economists and, you know, Americans for Tax Reform and many other people. But in the end, you know, if you limit the cap on what the millage is, and then inflation rises, you're shrinking the amount of per capita increase. And you can also draw that millage rate down further until you get to a net zero over a couple of years. That way we can proof this thing out. I'm actually, I truly believe that we can get to a property tax solution, but we're going to have to go through, curb our spending in certain areas, But also, I think sales tax is a great way to do that. Consumption side.
I agree. And the millage rate goes up at the same time that the value of your home goes up. Everybody goes, oh, don't worry about it. Your house is worth more. It's like, that doesn't help me month to month or at the end of the year when there's property tax. It doesn't help me a bit.
That's right.
So, we appreciate your time, State Senator Jay Collins on the Bob Rose Show, and we look forward to having you on again soon.
Hey, Bob, I look forward to it, man. I appreciate what you do. I do, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to the state of Florida. You all have a great day. God bless.
You too. Yeah, it works both ways.
Good point there. I mean, we probably, off the top of our head, could come up with a city or a county that would like to compensate for any property value taxes that drop. They would be more than willing to raise other things just to get into our pocket.
You mean other revenue streams?
Yes.
Doesn't it sound nice? Who doesn't like a stream?
Oh, it sounds so peaceful.
It's like a babbling brook.
I hear the little
it's
music.
It's peaceful.
The
it
music
makes
in
you
the
feel good.
Yeah.
It should be more like a stabbing sound at the Bates Motel when they tax us. There's blood everywhere.
Yes.
Blood, sweat, and tears going down the drain.
Oh.
I feel better. How about you?
Well, you got to get it out once in a while, you know?
No, I can do what I want because it is my birthday, after all.
Happy birthday, Bob.
Thank you.
Yes.
Appreciate it. And thanks to everybody else who said hello and on the book of faces and all that. I very much appreciate it. 8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. We've got a lot more to talk about. Yep. Greg Cassidy is here. And, A.G. Bondi in the news. Hang on. Well, we did get some insights from State Senator Jay Collins. Always appreciate that. And if you missed the interview, what the heck's the matter with you? No. If you missed the interview, you can get it on podcast, the Bob Rose Show podcast, available Apple, Spotify, the Odyssey app, all those places, wherever you normally get your podcast downloaded. Click on subscribe. Doesn't cost you anything, of course. And enjoy. You'll never miss a minute of this compelling show.
That is some great insight, though, on the whole two sides of the coin of, okay, do we you know, roll back some sales tax. And I guess normally you go, oh, well, that sounds good. But if it's really not going to make that big of a difference, man, that whole, you know.
$40 a year.
Yeah, but when you're talking about the thousands you pay to own a home, even if it's paid off, you know, that's where Floridians could use some relief. And I don't know why some of them in Tallahassee don't get that.
I mean, you know, in the argument, well, your home values are going up. It's like,
but if you're
which is great.
It doesn't matter.
Which is great if I'm selling it.
Yeah.
But if I'm selling it and staying around the state, oh, those prices all went up too. So, yeah, it doesn't, I don't, it doesn't really give you any real comfort.
No, it doesn't.
Yes.
No.
So, anyway, we'll continue to follow up on that, and like we try to do with things that happen in Tallahassee, they definitely have impact on our daily lives. There's no doubt about it. The plane, it is controversial. Should the president accept this plane from gutter? Now, this is a country that's, you know, played both sides, all sides of every equation, really.
Yeah.
Is this their way of reaching out? Is this an olive branch? Are they going to change their ways and change their behavior? They've allowed, you know, terrorists to, you know, to hang out there, and they've sponsored some of it, allegedly. They haven't really been, you know, good players.
I mean, they're an ally of ours, but they like the Chinese too.
Right, they're allies of them. So, is this the olive branch? Is this, could this like turn the tide a little bit? I don't know the answer to that. I can tell you, though, that there's a lot of people that don't want the president to take it. They're concerned there's a quid pro quo. It is interesting, especially if it comes from Democrats, because, quite frankly, that's how they think. Yeah. Like, they go, well, nobody just gives you a jet. What do they want? But if you go, you know, nobody just wants to give to the Clinton Foundation back in the 90s,
a lot of people did.
But, yeah.
Lot of people.
And see, so that's how they think when it's someone else. Like, yeah, I wonder what he promised them, because that's what they would do. I've got another story about a Chinese company. Under federal investigation. They have been for quite some time. Oh, and you're going to be just shocked by this. Apparently, there is a strong connection to Hunter Biden. Oh, shocker.
Shock.
Yeah, what's in it for me? Oh, they just love Hunter Biden.
Oh.
That's the connection. They just love him.
He's a nice guy.
Love his little, what do they call it, blow art.
Oh, he's a blowhard, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, and he was blowing and sniffing all kinds of things through a straw. Yeah. But anyway, it is interesting when they say, "Oh, what do they want? What if they want a greater level of friendship? What if they say this? We're showing you that we, you know, we want to be on your team when push comes to shove," and that's part of what the president's doing over there. Now, it's totally under the guise of financial stuff. In other words, Saudi Arabia. He's trying to get them up to $1 trillion in investments, and it's close. I think $650 billion at least. But so, you know, it's under the guise of this is all business, but it's not. It never is. And I think solidifying some of these folks, because the stuff's going to hit the fan with Iran, and he's got to know strategically who we can count on, and who we also need to count against. So that is going on as we speak. Senator Chris Van Hollen, or as I like to call him, Chris Van Hoser. He was on CNN Monday. Anderson Cooper, he's still around, huh?
What?
President Donald, yeah, he didn't like it that President Donald Trump's going to accept this $400 million luxury jet. He said, it's grift. Pure and simple. I just love it when Dems use a term like that, grift. Because that is like many of them. It's kind of who they are.
Yes.
It's like nobody knows more about grift than a Democrat. So if I point that finger at you, I know a grifter when I see one. Anderson Cooper said, Senator, the president says anyone who turns down a free 747 is a world-class loser. What do you see when you read between the lines of this deal? Oh, Anderson. No, yeah, lead him. Lead him with a leading question. I'm sure he doesn't need any help. Van Hoser can say, you know, stupid partisan things right off the top of his head. But Anderson Cooper, what do you see when you read between the lines of this deal? And Anderson Cooper, you think he read between the lines of, oh, I don't know, millions of Chinese dollars going into the Biden Penn Center? Did he read between the lines on that deal?
I don't think so.
That resembled that ever?
No.
Did you ever ask anybody else to read between the lines?
You mean all the money that went into all those shell companies owned by the Biden family, just from all kinds of sources from around the world?
He wouldn't even ask Joe Biden to walk in a straight line, let alone read between the lines.
Well, he probably couldn't anyway.
So. Yeah. So Van Hoser said, this is a grift, pure and simple. I mean, the reason we have the emoluments clause in the Constitution is to guard against countries essentially trying to buy favor with the President of the United States, which clearly went on for 4 years, and really 8 years under the previous Obama administration went on with Joe Biden in his handout. That was the family business. 9 o'clock stretch is coming up. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky.